Okay, hi. Hello everyone, good morning. And we're glad that you could make it here for this session. We're happy to present to you and share some really interesting insights and information on what we've been doing recently. And in case you're wondering what the service manager team has been up to recently, well then you're absolutely in the right place to find out more information about that. Before we start, just a quick show of hands. How many of you are using Service Manager in production already? Wow, okay. Yeah, thank you, Christian. That's, yeah, I knew that. I knew that you were using it pretty consistently. So yeah, it's always good to see familiar faces in the crowd. And how many of you here are looking at Service Manager as a possible solution to deploy in the near and short-term future? Okay, well, I think we have a good healthy mix of people from both sides of the fence. Before we get rolling, just some quick introductions. I'm Anshuman Nangia. I know the name is not the easiest name to pronounce, I'm a PM on the Service Manager team. I've been a PM on the Service Manager team for about 2 years now. And I'm joined today by Christian Booth, who he doesn't need an introduction. he's part of the customer architecture and technology team, an MVP lead, and he's been doing some really awesome work on the service manager community. Let's get started then. Thank you, Christian. I know the title of this presentation was Service Management in the Hybrid Cloud, specifically Service Manager 2012 R2 in the Hybrid Cloud. Now, that aligns with the overall direction and theme, which are having an organizational impact across cloud and data center management, at least. And we will get to it in a bit. But what I think is equally important, if not more important, to share with you is what are the current investments that have been happening in Service Manager? And I think this information will be really useful to those of you who are already invested in Service Manager. You'll find it really interesting. Equally interesting for us, I'm sorry about that, yep, there you go. Equally interesting to us is sharing with you some information on how we plan to continue what we've kickstarted in Service Manager recently, which means delivering faster, delivering better, giving you more value. And this kind of encompasses the short-term roadmap for Service Manager, or what you can expect in the 1 year or so from now. Really briefly, the first part of this presentation will cover information on investments that we've done recently on the product team, the product itself, and some community investments. The second part of this session will encompass some insights, really interesting insights, which I'm really excited to share with you. On the product backlog, what it looks like, where are we making investments, where can you see investments light up in Service Manager, as I said, in the short term, and some expectations around update roll-ups, which we just recently released a fairly heavy and complex update roll-up, and we want to set some expectations around those update roll-ups as well. And last but not the least, we will be sharing with you in the innovation space some of our early thinking and investments in managing the hybrid cloud using Service Manager. This will also include a concept demo on some of our early thinking, again, on what we feel service management looks like in the hybrid cloud management space. So let's get started. Let's start talking about delivering on current commitments and meeting in-market promises. So how many of you, just a quick show of hands again, how many of you here know that Service Manager now has a new team? All right. Well, I see about 5 hands go up, which was more than what I was expecting, to be honest. But now you know. Yeah, most of our MVPs, yep. Now you know. We have a brand new team on Service Manager, and we have an awesome new culture that we are creating for the Service Manager team, And something that we, I'm part of the team, so is Srikant, so is Christian, and we're particularly proud of this culture. Now, there are four core tenets in this, which encompass the culture that we're creating for our for the new service manager team. You see them listed on the screen. This is agile. So we are agile, extremely so. In fact, I'm pretty sure that we are one of the first teams across System Center to embrace the agile methodology of software delivery in its entirety. And I have some more information to share with you on this a few slides down the line, and so does Christian. We are extremely metrics-driven. So one of the things that wouldn't or shouldn't surprise most of the folks here is that we have a lot of work, a lot of requests or feature asks on Service Manager. And as much as I would like for us to be able to deliver on all of these at the same time in a timely manner, we have certain constraints that we work with. And the way we are guiding ourselves and our execution strategy is by being metrics driven, right? So we have we collect information from a bunch of resources. We process it, we internalize it, and we feed it into our engineering system, and we then make intelligent decisions about where our investments are landing in Service Manager. The third tenet you see listed here is transparency. We are trying to be as transparent as we can with you on the short-term roadmap of Service Manager, some of the challenges that we're facing in the Service Manager space, and some of our, including our backlog. This means that quite a few here, I think, have had a chance to look at our backlog of the things that we want to work on. If you do not, or if you haven't had the chance to do so, we are extremely open about it. We can, feel free to hang around after this presentation, and I'll be more than happy to share more details with you on what our immediate priorities look like. So we are transparent like that, and this is something that we've been working towards consistently for a while now. And the last and I think the most important point is that we are extremely committed to our ecosystem. In fact, I think it would be safe to say that if not for our partners and awesome community, we wouldn't be standing here giving this presentation today. So huge investment on our side as well to make sure that our partners and ecosystem continues to thrive. Now, these are the four core tenets that we're working against, and as we walk through this presentation today and this session today, you will see aspects of these four tenets slide up on the different talking points that we have to give to you. And just for fun, here's a picture of the new team in action during the morning scrum. To be honest, it does not include all the people from the team, but what you can see there is our whiteboard with sticky notes that we use to track our weekly sprints and how we're doing and track our velocity and make adjustments as necessary. Right, so with that said, let's dive deeper into product investments. The first thing that I'd want to share a little bit more with you on is the engineering methodology or the engineering process that we are following internally within the team. As I said earlier, we are we've pivoted towards the agile engineering methodology, and everything that we do right now, everything that comes out of this team, all the value we create, all the bugs we fix, all the features we execute on, are driven by a central backlog, which you can see as a pipe here. Now, I would love for this backlog to be as empty because I wouldn't have to work as hard then, but thankfully that is not the case. As I said earlier, we have a lot of information that we collect from multiple sources. This includes partners, CSS, customers, obviously, MVPs, Agile Tap, which we'll get to in a bit, and Connect, so and more actually. And we funnel all this information that we're gathering through these different resources into our backlog. And as you can see here, there is some sort of a granularity which increases towards the end of the backlog, which kind of signals the fact that as we get as items bubble up closer to the top of the backlog, they become more granular, more specific, and more consumable by the team, so that we can take them and execute on them in weekly sprints. Of course, this backlog is not static. We have information which comes in almost daily. We get more feedback that gets processed by us, internalized by us, and that affects how we execute. And we want to make sure that this backlog is reflective of what our customers and partners are looking for. And then obviously we go through an iteration planning phase. We go through multiple iterations, dev and test work on it. Our iterations are 2 weeks in length. And what we do then, this is the interesting part here, really interesting part, is that we have these drops that we produce for the Agile Tap program. And Christian's going to be talking a lot more about this. And we share it with our Agile Tap community to get feedback from them. And we take that feedback and funnel it directly either into the next immediate sprints, or we funnel that directly back into the backlog. So this is, if you haven't heard of Agile Tap, this is something that we're really excited about. And if you have the opportunity to participate in this program, then please do let us know. We'd love to hear more from you. And then all of this obviously bubbles up in cycles towards a UR release, and we this methodology can obviously then be extended to major to larger releases as well, including vNext. So this, in a nutshell, is our engineering process, and we'd love to hear feedback on this if you guys have feedback, and if you have thoughts on how we can change it, improve it, then please do let us know. Jumping into product investments, these are some highlights from the last, I would say, roughly 3 to 4 months since the new team got funded. We got operational. We got we kicked into high gear. Very recently, I think last month, we released a update rollup, which so far is the largest update rollup that we've released for Service Manager. It has 15 unique fixes and a total of 45 fixes, which is a huge, huge payload across R2 and SP1. One of the most interesting insights to us was that we saw about 1,000 downloads of this update rollup in the first roughly 10 days alone. Now, the adoption, the accelerated adoption of this update rollup, I believe was driven by the fact that we had this long-standing class of issues which revolved around the maximized console window, which got resolved in this update rollup. This collectively had a huge impact on the performance of the console when running it in maximized mode. And we saw a performance improvement of roughly 30%. So we're really excited about this update rollup, and if you'd like to know more about it, then we have a few blog posts out there announcing this update rollup along with the payload that is available in this update rollup. We have made significant investments into improving our RFH, RFC turnaround time. For those of you who do not know what RFH is, that's a request for hotfix. What a request for hotfix is, that is if a customer runs into an issue in production with Service Manager, and they call up support, and we know that this is a bug in the product that we need to fix, that translates to an RFH. And similarly, an RFC is a request for collaboration, where support needs more help from the product group to resolve an issue, to have the necessary information to go and then assist the customer and help them move forward. On average, we get about 8 of these issues a month, and our turnaround time on these issues is currently about 107 days, and for RFH is 141 days. It's not where we want it to be. There is definitely room for improvement here, and we are working on it. As I said earlier, this team is somewhat new. We are in the process of learning on the job, but we are definitely improving our pace of execution and delivery. And we expect these numbers to go down substantially over the next 3 to 6 months. We've also made a significant amount of investment over the last 3 months into test cases automation. One of the things that strikes me when I think about Service Manager is how vast and complex it is. It's actually a fairly large complex product which has many, many capabilities. It obviously has a huge surface area as well. So we've been challenged in the past in some ways by some of the more complex fixes where executing on those fixes took roughly about the same time as it took to test those out and validate them and make sure that we're not accidentally regressing any functionality. So we've been making a huge amount of investment in the space for us to be able to deliver faster and not spend as much time and make sure that the fixes that we ship out are delivered as expected and don't have any unexpected consequences. Also, and this is something that I think we're all really proud of, we kickstarted the SM Agile Tap program, and Christian's going to be sharing a little bit more information on this program.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So, everybody hear me okay? It sounds like it. Not too loud. So I'd say about September, October last year, Anshuman, Srikanth, and myself sat down and we're trying to come up with some better ways to, you know, get product out there. Like, how can we make this faster? How can we gain the trust back from the community, from the people that are using this product to let them know that this isn't something that, you know, we put on the shelf at Microsoft and we're like, yeah, we'll get to it whenever. You know, that there, you know, there is an investment, there's a forward motion. So in November of every year, we have an MVP summit. So we bring in our System Center MVPs from all over the world. We sit down with them, and the team actually shared the backlog. And we said, okay, here's everything that we're working on. Show us your priorities. So the MVPs went on their own accord. They all got together as a group, and they reprioritized the backlog to what they felt was the right way to do this. And we were like, okay, so if you're telling me these very specific things would improve everyone's, you know, desire to want to use it, to continue to use it, to, you know, gain a little bit of trust, a little bit more momentum, then great. Then let's take a shot at this. So Srikanth said, okay, let's start looking at a way that we can actually deploy this with the community. So we decided, okay, let's start a tap process. Let's focus agile and actually make some serious waves and you know, try to push a really good forward statement. So the idea of the agile tap is that we're gonna do sprints. So we're gonna do biweekly sprints. So we will take from this backlog very specific things that are wrong in the product, be it a performance thing, be it the console maximization bug, if any of you are familiar with that, and say, okay, where can we get really valuable wins out of this and focus just on that? Instead of waiting for huge service pack cycles or UR cycles, actually go, what can we do in the short term for people so that we can really start to get that out there? So we said, okay, let's focus on trying to get biweekly drops as the goal. So the idea is that every 2 weeks, we would have a group of people that would get a beta of a drop, and we would say, here's very clear instructions. This is the one thing that we're fixing. This is what it looks like. Test it. We've already tested it, but we want you to validate it and make sure that this works for us. So the support system, the decision was, okay, well, obviously we can't go through CSS. We can't have all kinds of phone channels and trees for this. That has to be very specific. So we said, okay, we'll all take on support for that. So however we do this, whether it's 10 customers or 1,000 customers, we're gonna take the stand right now that we'll support this. So in doing that, we said, okay, the next logical component is, okay, well, who do we get it as a part of this? So we reached out to our MVPs and said, okay, who do you think would be good, as well as within the community of MVPs? With the System Center MVPs, we have people that are DPM experts and SCOM experts and service manager experts. So we said, okay, well, let's start with the service manager guys. Let's make sure that they have all the stuff that they need, and let's start defining a drop. Let's figure out some customers. We looked at customers. We wanted to go small, medium, large, you know, so who's having scaling problems? Who's a small shop that's trying to make this thing run, that's having performance, and maybe it's tuning, so that we could kind of weed through some of the things. There's a lot of scenarios that we run into from performance just in the infrastructure itself that's just mis-spec'd. You know, we deal with it all the time. Our CSS folks and our field folks come to us and say, hey, we're having problems with this, and, you know, we find out, well, they're doing, you know, 100,000 assets in the CMDB, and they have one server with everything on it, and it's a VM. And it's like, well, that's going to probably be really slow. So, and it's kind of going, okay, where can we weed that out? Then can we talk to education? Can we talk to partners? People that are using this, people that are deploying this, are there consulting companies that are deploying this that could go through scenarios with us and actually walk this, as Srikanth actually likes to say a lot, is walk this journey with us. Say, okay, let's get everybody together. We're all going to jump in the van and off we go, and we're going to see where we end up. So taking out of the team, inside of the product team itself, inside some of the support teams like myself within the customer architecture team and saying, okay, let's support this. Internally, we built a group around it. It actually is called the Ninjas. And so we have service manager folks from our field. We have some of the other partners in my organization and others. We get together every week. We have 30-minute calls, talk very specifically about what's happening. Okay, now we have participants. Now we have an idea of customers. Now we have all the basic framework of everything that we need so that we can kind of push forward. So now we have all our participants. And am I clicky? There we go. So the primary goal is to demonstrate commitment and gain trust. For everyone to know that we are actually doing something with this, that this isn't in sustained engineering, that the product's not going to go away in a year, that there'll be some shocker at TechEd 2016 where we go, service manager is gone, that people will go, okay, yeah, we're willing to get in the van because you actually have a destination. The next thing down is to increase the quality of the updates. We've had update problems in the past, things didn't work. We want to go, let's drop these URs in a more consistent cycle and actually make them valuable. Let people see it and go, okay, that was great. Our first UR, which was a huge one that Anshuman talked about earlier, I mean, one of the biggest things in there is that there was a change for console maximization. That was a bug and it would lock it up. And I don't know how many people in the community, MVPs and customers that I've talked to, that was a problem. That's like, great, that's a nice win. And that's all done because of this process. It gives us the opportunity to have closer engagement with you. I haven't been at Microsoft as an employee very long. I was an MVP before, and there's so many times where I even, having the relationship that I have with Microsoft, go, they probably have heard this already. And you know what? I can say that we probably have, but that doesn't mean that we don't want to hear it again. That doesn't mean that if you're going to tell me about the performance problem in the console that you have, that I don't want to hear it here on the floor as we're walking around, because that's the engagement that we want. We want you to know that we're actually listening to what's being said, that it's not like, we appreciate your feedback and we walk down the hallway. Early access to fixes and features, so that the folks that are a part of this TAP actually get the opportunity to see kind of what we're doing as we, kind of gain momentum. As Anshuman showed earlier, kind of that whole cycle of the backlog is that it's a living, breathing thing. And we want to make sure that that's really key to everyone. So in the end, the ultimate win for us within Microsoft and with the customers is this is all co-created value. That everyone has been a part of this, that it wasn't us sitting in our ivory towers, everyone jokes, making some decisions and not doing, and doing what we feel like doing, that we're actually taking what it is and that we've now created this together. So here's just kind of an example of the, basically how this is done. In January 2014 to now, we've had 3 drops that had 18 fixes that you see in your UR. We've had 20 customers as participants, MVPs and partners as well. And out of our test cycle, delivering these bits to everyone, 5 bugs were found. So we've developed the fix, we've tested the fix, we've given it to the folks in this Agile TAP, and they found 5 things that we fixed. I mean, you just can't ask for any better quality than that. I mean, that really is the key, is saying, we're not perfect, we get it. And now we're having people that we know are experts and are really passionate about the product being a part of it and helping us fix things. So, I mean, it's just a number that you can't argue with. The ultimate goal for us right now is by the end of the year, we want to have 100-plus customers that are a part of this TAP program, be it other MVPs, community folks, yourselves, happy to talk with you about it after this, that are a part of this cycle with us and, are getting to see that this is definitely going forward. Some of the community investments that we have to kind of go along with this, one of the questions that we get is, hey, I want to be a member of this TAP program. That sounds great. We do require a commitment. We need a dev environment. We need you to kind of, put some skin in the game with us. And a lot of people, they don't have the resources, they don't have the time, and we get that. So in other ways, we want to go, okay, well, how can we take the same exact method and bring it into the community and make sure that everyone knows, everyone has a voice, that there's an opportunity? So these are some of the things that, that we've been working through. So the Service Manager Engineering blog having, 51,000 views in the last 4 months, which is huge inside of Microsoft. And it actually is a very targeted blog that has the most views, which is kind of the overall announcements. We're shooting for 3 posts a month. Some of our posts are like, hey, here's some partner information, but we're shooting as a team for 3 quality posts a month to say, here's something that we're looking at, here's a question that we have, here's a way to process through something. You'll see some posts out there about Active Directory connectors and synchronization and things like that. we do read that feedback. We all get it in an email. So when you post a comment on that blog, whether you're anonymous or you're, you know, four wheel guy, 01, we read it. You know, some of them aren't super appropriate, but we read them anyway. Always a good laugh. Last is to make sure that you've read the Phoenix blog. The link's in there. It's on the Service Manager site. That gives kind of an overview of what our mission statement is. We've had comments where people have said, well, it doesn't really tell us anything, and it's not really meant to. It's the idea that, like, look, here's the commitment, here's the process. We can't really tell you anything because we're working this together. As we know, you'll know. You know, we want to make sure that we're going through this and making sure that the in-market product is stable and taken care of. You can follow us on Twitter. That is updated all the time. We have about 1,800 followers. Stays up to date. Any announcements, talk about sessions. If you have something that you've done and you're a community member, you have a blog on Service Manager, tweet it at us. We'll make sure that it gets out there. You know, we want this to be something that we're all kind of doing together, as I said. Actually, that's the big one for me is the bullet on the bottom is anybody that's asked a question or made a comment on there has had response within 24 hours. Typically, it's a couple hours, depending on the time zone. But it's actually a really great thing. And these are manned by the product team. You know, it's not, we don't have some person just manning all the systems and our Twitter accounts. It actually is the product team. We all see it. We all get it. So some other community investments that we're doing is the, we have a link up. So there's a link in there as well. So aka.ms/link up. This is a monthly call. It's the third Tuesday of every month. It is open floor. I run them. I have a couple of slides, mostly because sometimes you get on calls and everyone wants to talk and sometimes no one wants to talk. So I just kind of make sure that whatever we're working on right now, whatever's kind of the hot topic for us, that we're a part of that. It's a link call. You can go download the schedule. You can jump in. We wanted to make it very, you know, for lack of a better word, kind of water cooler-ish. So we've had great conversations with people. We've had great questions. We've actually had some, you know, really interesting interactions between people when we talk about stuff that we're doing and, you know, people's thoughts of where things should go and why are we not doing this. And it's a great, I mean, we're supported by this Ninjas team. They get on the call with us, which it also includes the product folks that are manning this. So the participation has actually been pretty good. So we started out in January kind of redoing these calls. They were actually done a little bit last year. And we're like, okay, we're going to restart this as part of this whole Agile Tap and just making sure that that community effort goes forward. So about 30, 40 people joined the first call, and the last call, we had 125 people. And it was great. I mean, these are people from all over the world, all kinds of different customers, getting a lot of requests to have them recorded, and then we post those recordings online so that people that can't make it can still hear them and see what's going on. So a lot of momentum that way, which got Anshuman talking to me a little bit about, like, what are some of the opportunities for an office hours? So this is just, it's a new idea. It's another thing that we want to do that might help engage a little more targeted. The link up calls are specifically community oriented. Call in, listen, ask a question. We'll have some content for you. You know, sometimes we get people that post in the IM session, you know, a question, they're having a problem or a bug, and we try to route them as best we can. The office hours is designed right now kind of to be more targeted. We have a pre-post that explains who's going to be the expert that's online. We're going to have a person that has a lot of expertise from Microsoft with Data Warehouse. Oh, that's an office hours I want to go join. Or you want to submit a question to us through Twitter or through the website and say, you know what, this is a problem that I'm having. And as an example, you could be a consultant. I've done 5 installs. I've had this problem every single time. Is this a bug? Should I submit it? I don't know. And you're going to have someone from the product team there actually going, yes, that actually is a bug. Please submit that so that we can follow it and track it. So, supporting the other investments, obviously we have some free ebooks that are out there that are written by internal folks, our support folks. Most of these books are, again, I go right back to, you know, the product team and the ninjas. It's typically the same group of people that are helping. And then also going it one step further and making sure that all of our MVPs and community folks that are writing books for the Unleash series or Cybex or any of those others, that we're a part of that, that we're doing technical reviews and, you know, making sure that we can, you know, answer questions if we're running into anything that they're trying to prove out for a scenario in a book, exams, testing material, some of the stuff that's upcoming for Service Manager, definitely have a really key hand in making sure that that's all taken care of. The Connect site is back up. I don't know how many of you are actually familiar with Microsoft's Connect. Anybody ever use it? Okay, good. So the Service Manager one is back up now. There's the link for it. So it is open for bugs to the public and feedback. And again, you want to see, you know, the console be blue from now on, submit it. We'll read it. Goes into the backlog. Not that I would recommend that because that's silly, but, you know, it is there. So we just wanted to open it up a little bit more, make sure that people are having all of, I mean, we're trying to open up every possible channel we can to let you know that we're here and that we're listening. So as far as the community, the one last thing that I wanted to do is I wanted to make sure that there was a good solid shout out to the people that are supporting this. I mean, our MVP community is amazing. I don't know if you know any of the MVPs. Almost all of them from the System Center side are actually here floating around somewhere. If you see a MVP sticker, a jacket, or stop by the community booth, guys are awesome. You know, there are definitely someone that keeps us kind of on our toes all the time and make sure that we're doing the right thing. So good voice to the community, which I really appreciate. Our partners, the ecosystem that we have of all of our partners and ISVs that are here. We have like the folks from Provence, Gord Watts is doing a session on hybrid scenarios with Service Manager. We've got guys from GridPro doing presentations on Service Manager and how they're adapting. We've got guys from Cyrus, and it's just really cool stuff that's happening and getting great support for us. It's helping to find the places where maybe there's gaps or areas that we're not investing in at this time to really make the product sing for you. So we definitely wanted to make sure that we gave them a nice solid shout out. With our cheesy selfie. Yes, please do.
On the Connect portal, now that it's back up. Oh, sorry. It's on. Yeah, it's on. I don't know if I can. It's working.
Oh, slide it up.
That's off now. Can you hear me now? Better? Wow, okay. It's worse. Sorry. yeah, so one of the feedbacks that we got.
No, is it off?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks a lot for that, Christian. Yeah. So one of the feedbacks that we got from our community was on Connect specifically. Before Service Manager, System Center and Windows Server got merged, we had a Connect for Service Manager, and we had a lot of feedback coming in through it. One of the challenges, one of the things that I think that we need to improve on, and the feedback that we've received is that we need to be more proactive about closing those issues which are coming in through Connect. So
check.
Value your feedback and we'll close Connect bugs. Awesome. Oh, okay. Actually, I think it's up again. Yeah. Back up now. Oh, yours is off. See if this works.
Well,
you can hear me, all right?
All right. So, that's actually great. One of the things that. Hello?
Do you want to run with this? Why don't you take this, Christian? We'll share.
We'll share. It'll be awesome. You know, you can't have a Microsoft presentation without some kind of mess up, right? I wouldn't have felt good about myself if everything went smoothly, although I did drop my laptop earlier, which was absolutely hysterical. So one of the things with Connect is a lot of times people don't get feedback from us. We'll see it in TFS. We make an update and we go, okay, great. Yeah, this is logged or we're going to do something with it. That doesn't always necessarily translate into the portal. So we're trying to make sure that that does kind of going forward.
And the feedback from Connect,
yes, it goes right into everything that we see. So when you submit something in there, a bug, it goes into TFS and we are now accountable for making that work. So, I'm going to talk a little bit about, all right, I guess we're using this. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the, how we're optimizing going forward. Sorry about the static noise, guys. All right. So better and faster. So as you saw, kind of going through the Agile tab, designing that was to go, okay, how can we actually sprint this internally? How can we, you know, look at all of our options? How can we take all the feedback that we have and consolidate it into something that we can consume? You can't have a two-week sprint of fixes without actually having a priority list and a good graph of everything that you need. So we look back at stuff that Anshuman mentioned earlier. There's a new team, so there's more resources on the team to help, you know, kind of make that happen. Coming from the customer side of things, and working with the MVP program, we're bringing people in as virtual teams into this to kind of help make sure that the efforts are there. We make sure the devs are working on things that are really important to development, the engineers are designing the things, customers are being engaged appropriately, so we have a nice, easy, smooth, you know, process. We can say, okay, what is it that we need to fix? Making, you know, more investments in automated testing, you know, looking at the you know, higher frequency of our blogs and some of the other stuff to just kind of, you know, kind of already talk through as far as how we're managing this and what we're looking for going forward. Increasing the participation, like I said, don't hesitate to come find me on the floor somewhere. I'm happy to talk with you, see if this tap makes sense for you, if it's something that you really want to engage in. We're definitely open for it. Improving the RFC and RFH turnaround times, making things a little bit quicker, a little bit better, so that we're handling everything that you need in a nice, easy, smooth fashion. And then looking at the high-value fixes, long-standing asks, right collisions is a big one. So, and before for the UR, the console maximization. Again, it was a big thing. Everybody talked about, everybody brought up with us, MVPs, partners, and customers alike. It's like, okay, this could be a huge win for us. Let's get that done. Let's focus our energy on that. And then being able to deliver larger UR payloads. So UR2 for us was a good UR drop. It was a clean UR drop. It had a lot of value. So people that actually applied it for R2, we've actually gotten really positive feedback, which is actually rare for UR. You know, most people are like, yeah, whatever. Oh, I have to apply that now too. But it was making sure that those things that were really key for people were in there to help improve. And they're like, okay, hey, if I get one little tiny improvement out of it, that's a valuable UR. That's worth taking the shot at starting to go through my environment with it.
Can I? So I know that a lot of customers here have first-hand experience of right collisions that happen in Service Manager, and this is one of the things that starting now.
Sure.
So it's just an example of kind of our, you know, the payloads, how they look, what are, you know, what the estimates are, how we're going to build things out, you know, looking at what it looked like in April from, you know, kind of the unique fixes and October. Just really wanted to show you that we're actually increasing it. Like, the focus is to, like, better, faster, stronger as much as we can. If you guys have any questions, please don't hesitate to jump up, throw something at me. We're happy to answer them. So in, you.
Yeah, so what I was leading up to is that there are many different ways to tackle that problem.
The question was, wanted us to finish the thought on right collisions, on the actual, like, you know, we mentioned right collisions as something that we're working on and what the status of that is.
So there are multiple options that we're exploring. The first thing that we're exploring now is trying to see how we can reduce the frequency of these collisions, make it less of a pain for customers who are running into this. And there are many aspects to this problem. It's because of workflows. It's because of user-user collisions. It's and what we're looking at now is what is the immediate relief that we can provide. And the first thing that we're actually in execution in this now is we're looking at ways where, one, we can reduce the frequency of these. That would be an easy win. So that is something that we want to get out as soon as possible. Following which, we will start looking at a more deeper technical solution where, if possible, we'd like to merge the writes coming in through two different sources so that this problem completely goes away. So I know that this has been a long-standing ask on a Service Manager, and the good news that I want to share is that we have now the capacity and the team and the resources to go into execution in this, just like the way we did for the maximized window issue, which has been, I think, which was close to 2 years or more in processing, where we circled around it for a while and we never really got around to doing it for various reasons, but now we finally did, and I'm fairly confident that you'll see a similar result or improvement in right collisions happen over the next couple of URs.
So we're gonna kind of whip through some of the product backlog a little bit. Again, just the idea of transparency is these are the largest areas of impact in our nice pie chart. So this, again, as I said earlier, living and breathing, changes all the time. The thing that doesn't typically change is the usability requirement. Like, you know, as you can see here, it's 53%. So the top three areas for us are usability, performance, and reliability. That people can take the product, they can install the product based off of the recommendations for scaling and sizing and know that these three things are gonna be taken care of. That's our focus, is making sure that whatever it is that's currently in market that we can fix to make that better, that's where we want to go. The takeaways from that is, there really is only one. It's data-driven. If you submit feedback, a bug, you come yell at me in the hallway, on Shimon in the hallway, that stuff is taken into account. That's what sways this. That's how these things get in here. The Agile Tap program, that's how it gets in there. We're not just going, oh, that sounds cool, let's try that. We're like actually trying to do something with legitimate data. So as part of the product backlog, this is the highlighted list of the overall issues. So console, data warehouse, connectors, and then kind of platform and SDK. As you can see, these are the percentages. Now, if we have an update, let's say we have a UR 4 or 5, and it changes the performance of the console dramatically, then this number shifts. So the question was, do we have any plans for the portal to be HTML5 and be a little more dynamic?
Again, did I lose? Okay, finally it's working. Thank you. That's a great question. We're exploring several options in that space. What I can share with you today is that the Silverlight-based portal, the one that you get out of the box with Service Manager, that is currently not being invested in by the product team. It's not something that we see carrying forward. And we are exploring. I see. Thank you.
Show of hands. Nice.
Absolutely. Love it. Thank you.
You don't get clapped at very often here. Yeah. That's good.
Wow. But yeah, so we are exploring several options. I think we will have more to share with you in about 3 months. Thank you, Srikanth. And feel free to reach out to either of us, either Srikanth, Krishan, or myself, and we'll keep an eye out on our SCSM engineering blog and our Twitter handle if you want to stay up to date on what's going on in that space.
Do we have any plans to change service management to the portal, publish it to the portal?
Short answer, it is yes. It is on our roadmap. It is one of the things that we're looking at. The portal as it exists now is primarily, create some context here, the portal as it exists now is primarily used for service requests and incidents. We do have plans to extend that to change requests as well. Stay tuned in for that. Within the next 3 months or so in that time frame, you will see some developments and some announcements, hopefully, from the product team with a new direction around the portal, what we are thinking, where we are planning to take the portal experience for our end users. And change management will definitely be part of that story.
Yeah. Thanks. So, to the product backlog. So again, as you see it, it's all data driven. The idea is through this Agile Tap process that every quarter there's a UR that we're processing through every quarter and saying, okay, these were the 13 things that we fixed this time, these are the 10 we fixed that time, et cetera, et cetera. And that this is the list. And if this list looks ridiculous, please come and tell us. If you go, I don't understand what you're talking about, portal and console, those are all awesome. Let's sit down and talk. Maybe a little bit about your sanity, but ultimately we'll talk a little bit about like what it is. So it's all about the data. We want to make sure that everything that we're doing and everything that we're capturing is tracked and that we're looking at it and that we're communicating with you. And anytime that you feel we're stepping out of bounds, you let us know. And if we think you're crazy, we'll totally let you know. So the next one is just kind of going over the update roll-ups. So as of right now, the plan for July is that we'll have UR3. The plan for July right now also is that there will be no update for SP1. The focus right now will be on R2. So my question for you all, now that you have an idea of what the backlog looks like, what our staffing looks like, what some of the processes we have in place look like, what are your thoughts by show of hands if we stopped supporting SP1 with URs? Like, how many people would agree that that's an okay thing to do? Awesome. Now, that's beautiful. Yeah, it's you know, we even have the pre-chambered reason, right? It's, we want to make sure that we're actually focusing on things going forward. So that's great. Yeah, all right, well, we can leave. Let's go. Come on, we're out of here.
Job well done. Thanks. Now, I just want to qualify what support here means, that you will start seeing most of our investments light up in the R2 release of Service Manager. That's not to say that Service Manager SP1 will, we will still support it. Any fixes, any RFH, RFCs that come through, we will definitely serve them. But a majority of our investments will start showing up in the R2 pipeline. And we do plan to have the next UR for SP1 in October. So if you have issues, that if you have customers who are running into issues, or if you yourself are on SP1 and you have some work that you'd like to get done on that, then the wait time on that currently is about 6 months. If you'd like to get relief before then feel free to reach out to us, and we will provide you, we're more than happy to service you through private hotfixes if need be, and if they qualify. Thanks. Okay.
So that was an easy slide. Actually, I'm pretty stunned, so that makes me really happy. So I'm gonna move on then, and actually shut up a little bit and let Anshuman kind of talk a little bit more about kind of the hybrid cloud era and what we're looking at from innovation. Now, he's gonna say it, and I just wanna state it first before we move into it, is this is our opinion. This is what we think based off of all the feedback channels that I just walked you through. AgileTap, our customers, our partners, ISVs, MVPs, people in the hallway. This doesn't mean that we're going to market with any of it. We just want to give you some thoughts. So, do you want this?
Actually, let's do that. Yeah. It's easier. Okay, great. Thank you, Christian, and thank you all for giving us that really important piece of feedback that you were looking for on future-looking URs. Now, I'm sure you've heard in this conference so far Brad Anderson talk about the hybrid cloud. You've heard Ryan O'Hara talk about the hybrid cloud. And what we'd like to show you now is the direction, or what we feel is the role that Service Manager and Service Management has to play in that space. Now, again, as Christian said, this is early thinking. This is something that we believe has good value, and it kind of gels well with the large organizational wins that are flowing in the direction of hybrid cloud. So let's have a quick look at what we feel are the important areas that any service management or service manager-like solution will have to deliver in the space. One is that we have to prioritize to be cloud first. Again, this goes back to the organizational changes that the winds that are blowing in the direction of making sure that we win the cloud first. Everything else is aligning itself to it. Obviously, there has to be investments which help us enable hybrid cloud management scenarios. And one of the key takeaways that we received from our existing customers and those who the organization and our leadership is in close collaboration with is that service management is a key element to managing hybrid cloud and delivering the lifecycle management experience that many of us are very familiar with. We love it. And some of the experiences that you get with Service Manager. In a little bit more detail, there are three core areas where service management or service manager in this case might have to come through. One is it has to be compliance by design. Now, what does that mean? It means that compliance needs to be built into the DNA of a solution which helps manage hybrid clouds. This means that as an end user, I do not have to be concerned about where my workloads and processes land. We have to have a policy-driven engine, which takes as input the user input. It processes them, and then it figures out where these human and process workflows need to land. And all of this is made possible by abstraction through automation, which kind of abstracts the complexities of working with different platforms. The second point here is governance in the hybrid cloud, which is that some of the scenarios that we've all come to love in Service Manager, which means incident management, service management, provisioning of workloads, deprovisioning and monitoring, et cetera. All of this kind of needs to bubble up and be delivered as one consolidated solution in the service management space for the hybrid cloud. And obviously a key part of Service Manager, in fact, our most valued asset in Service Manager is the CMDB, which we all know uses these connectors that we have right now to integrate really well with a wide variety of system center components. It brings in a lot of information. It consolidates it. It gives you a holistic view of your assets, at least in the system center space. The hybrid cloud CMDB is an extension of that. The way we look at it is an extension of that. It allows you to bring in assets no matter where they live. It may be on Azure. It may be on a private cloud somewhere. It brings all these assets into the CMDB, and it enables the realization of scenarios that we get out of the box with Service Manager and the management of these assets just the way Service Manager does for your hybrid clouds and your assets in the hybrid cloud. Now, this is actually, when you think about it, this is a remarkable opportunity for us to be able to sync these assets and then provide some solutions, management solutions on top of it. With that, let's just jump into a really quick concept demo, which showcases some of the thinking that we have around in this space. Okay, I'm projecting. Awesome. Right, so what you see here is the familiar Windows Azure Pack portal, which, again, is a big play on the consistency, on providing a consistent experience. I'd like to draw your attention a little bit here to location, and this view here is giving you a list of hybrid clouds that you have, which are registered within Windows Azure Pack. If you pay attention to the location of these clouds, there are two of them which are running on Windows Azure, and there's two of them which are on-prem and running through VMM, for example. Now, a very common scenario when working with virtual machines in hybrid clouds is that you have maybe a virtual machine is not responding. Maybe you want to provision a new virtual machine. All of this, these capabilities, once all these assets that exist in your hybrid clouds, once they exist in your CMDB, it's really easy for one to surface them in a portal like experience like this, where I can go into requests and I can create a request which targets a virtual machine and irrespective of where that virtual machine lives. For example, in this case, let's just assume a scenario where I'm working with a virtual machine and that virtual machine for some reason becomes unavailable to me and I have a demo maybe in the next half an hour. So what I can do is I can go into Windows Azure Pack, I can click on Cloud Resource, I can navigate myself to creating a request, and I click on Cloud Resource Incident Request. So I'm creating an incident at this point on the virtual machine that I'm having trouble with. Now, let's just create a quick description of this request. VM not responding. Okay. Let's just say that, hey, this VM is not responding. Category of the issue is virtual machine cloud problems. Because I have a demo which is due in the next half an hour, I say that this issue is urgent and I don't need to fill out this information just yet. So I click on next. Now, what happens is that I get this view which is giving me a list of all my virtual machines which are running across different clouds. Now, as you will see here, there are a few virtual machines which are running in Azure. There are a few virtual machines in the Contoso Azure cloud, and there's a few virtual machines which are running on-prem in my Contoso hosted cloud. I can click on any one of these machines, and I should, at this point, be able to create incident request on this virtual machine. Now, again, this is a very light concept demo. It's not something that is ready to go into production yet, so I'm going to have to close this out at this point. But it gives you the idea that we have.
Oh, it actually doesn't work.
It's kind of light at this point. We wanted to take this opportunity to show you some of our early thinking in the space and the scenarios which can be realized by bringing in all these different assets, backed by automation, of course, into the CMDB. And it just allows you to realize so many different scenarios like asset management on these assets, no matter where they live, your typical incident and service request scenarios and change requests and such.
Now, could you, through those scenarios, would people be able to do like user onboarding through a portal
absolutely.
Like that?
Absolutely. Okay. Yes. User onboarding, in this case, it would be like you could have user onboarding, and if you want virtual machines or machines provisioned for that user, irrespective of where those machines live, then absolutely you can realize that those kinds of scenarios. You could also have, for example, integration with Azure Active Directory. That would allow you to sync assets from Azure. It's very similar to the way Service Manager works right now, where you have these connectors which pull in information from our well-known suite of System Center products. In this case, it would just be we would be creating connectors to sync information from Azure, to sync information from other sources as well, and just bring it all consolidate it into the Service Manager database.
Sync from Novell NetWare?
Sorry?
No.
does that
seem like something viable for everyone? Like, is that, if this is the direction that we're heading, show of hands of who thinks we're crazy?
Crazy? Yeah.
I'll show you guys off. Great.
Awesome. So switch back to one.
Yes. What you saw was an implementation by a partner, but it's directionally where we want to go.
There's another question right there.
So I'll repeat the question. The question was, does the whole experience shift to Azure Pack, or are you going to have other class of problems? So I like to distinguish between two things. number one, the self-service experience of any kind for the data center products is going to be an Azure Pack-like experience. So that's an alignment across three divisions within Microsoft: Azure, System Center, and Windows Server. So you're getting the wood from three distinct organizations. So the likelihood of this portal surviving amongst the many that we have delivered in the past is very high. So we want to go bet on that. Now, that does not make that, that does not eliminate that everything needs to be a cloud scenario. The Windows Azure Pack user experience that you saw is the UX framework. And the UX framework is extensible, and the resource provider or the services that you want to provide through that light up inside that framework. So the direction that we want to take service management is light up these services in line with the cloud scenarios as with any other scenarios. So the WAP portal extensibility that you see does not have to have VM cloud services lit up, but will still function as a WAP experience, right? You could have an instance of WAP portal without the cloud enabled to do all your service management scenarios. You could have another instance of WAP portal with cloud enabled and service manager would be the back end for both. And if service manager happens to be multi-tenanted, even better. And if service manager lights up in the cloud and works with public Azure, even better. That's the direction we're going. Once you line up to WAP.
Question.
Thank you. So the question was, do we expect to see a web service-like experience, like SPF, for Service Manager? The answer is yes. And the reason is, in order to light up inside WAP, you need to have a REST API. And once we have the REST API, then it gives you two possibilities. I'm not saying that that's the direction that we want to go, but it gives you two possibilities. You natively light up inside WAP. That's number one. That's the directionality. Number one, you can consume these APIs and build your own portal should you want to. Now, because our focus is on the API, out of the box, it'll be natively WAP integrated and Azure UX integrated, but the API surface is available for somebody to consume it outside because we have automation needs. People are going to have automation outside of this portal experiences. We need to support that as well. Thank you. I can walk up to him.
There we go.
Okay, let's.
Hello. Okay. So let's pretend you have an Office 365 portal, right? And your end users go out to this Office 365 portal. And everything else the organization is doing out there. This is a people-centric IT experience, right? People-centric IT is giving them what they need, where they use it. And sending your users, I know the WAP portal's principally oriented around service providers and people consuming IT services, and that's great, and it's going to work well. If I'm Joe end user and I need to get something from IT, will there at least be a way for me to be able to put a link out in SharePoint for a particular type of request? So let's say I've got requests to, I've got a broken computer, right, and I want to submit a request into IT. Can at least provide the functionality to click on something, a link, and then go straight to the request in the WAP portal.
So let me—I don't have to repeat the question. So that's good. Is my mic gone? Doesn't like changes. I want to speak loud. So the short answer to the question, Nate, because we have REST APIs. The scenario that you described becomes possible. We're going to provide deep links into the system. And you can build your own end user experiences. The focus is going forward, at least in the short term, we want to stabilize Service Manager where it is. We want to line up inside hybrid cloud. Now the question is, does it diverge from the client side scenarios? What happens to those scenarios? Are we going to break it? We're not going to break it. Are we investing in the portal experience for those? You're not going to see that. Are we preventing that? No. And the way we want to do that is probably work with you and others to leverage our API space. And as long as we have a deep link into the system and we still continue to process that and still automation as well as rest of the scenarios work, I don't see this as an innovation at all. We actually end up serving both segments of the scenarios, which is data centers is tightly integrated as well as client-side scenarios that you're just talking about, but just to make sure that I have not thought this space through a lot, just as an FYI, that's something that I was very excited when we started working together in your demos for sessions, and that's when I'm trying to follow that space a little closely. I'll make sure that the scenario is not prevented by any, and we'll make sure that that's not happening. But is that something that are going to come out of this, the next set of efforts? I would say no, that's not something that we are actively pursuing, but we are not preventing. Okay.
I will state really quickly, though, that actually Srikant says something really key there, which is the statement of your demo, that, you know, that you're someone that's a part of this community, that the person that owns this product is listening to and making sure that he's thinking through what the situations are. And that wasn't planned in advance either. But that's really how it works, is that it is direct feedback. We want to make sure that the road that we go down, that people aren't looking at us like we're insane. So they will anyway, but.
Customers, I guess that was the question. So, yeah, the question was multi-tenancy. How Service Manager fits in that space for managed service providers?
Take it. So the next iteration of Service Manager that you're seeing, we're going to start focusing on multi-tenancy. The most likely the first, it is not multi-tenant right now. Let's make that very clear. Multi-tenancy is also a hard problem. It's not. Correct. So the next iteration you'll most likely see, we'll start sharing more data. That is something that we want to make sure. In order to actually be able to talk about hybrid CMDB and cloud scale, we need to solve the multi-tenancy problems first. We might have to get there a little slower. We might have a dedicated solution first, because Service Manager is slightly unique that I cannot provide a multi-tenant solution that people cannot customize for individual client space. And once you start heavily customizing everything around it, then it becomes, in the data sharing, everything becomes complex. So we need to be careful about what we mean by multi-tenancy. How do we isolate both data and process? It's not just about data. Others can, if it's an email app, I can just talk about multi-tenant email app. It's data isolation only. Here I have to talk about processes and the customization. So it's going to be a little bit more a dedicated approach when we get there. It is a journey. It's not going to happen this year. This year we want to focus on stabilization, and as we start pivoting towards the cloud, you'll start seeing some of the other capabilities that are inherent, and cloud attributes start lighting up. Multi-tenancy is part of that.
Yeah, this is dead. Yeah. Hello. Oh, it's back on again. Awesome. This was just a slide in case the demo did not work, so we had a backup. The key takeaways I hope that you all are taking away from this presentation are that we are committed to Service Manager. We have a new team now. We have additional resources that we feel fairly strongly about that are going to show up. And we will continue to deliver value through update rollups, at least for the next 1 year. That's the stabilization plan, and our investments are going to land roughly in the three buckets of stabilization, stability, usability, and performance. There are certain, you just got a preview of some of our early thinking about service management in the hybrid cloud. There are more investments that we will start lining up in that space, and you'll certainly hear more information on that, and you'll see more demos around that moving forward. And the last is that we, as a service manager team and as a service manager as a product, again, have a huge affinity to our partners and ecosystem. And we are making special efforts in some ways to make sure that we realize or we enable our partners to deliver value through us and build on top of us. And with that, thank you for your time. If you have any questions, feel free to ping us, both Christian, myself, and Srikant as well. We'll hang around for any questions that you might have. Thank you.